Well, hey everyone, welcome to the Dear Family Courts podcast. My name is Lisa Welter and I'm your host. Today we have a fun conversation prepared for you. I'm interviewing an alumni, Jamie Wilson, who has launched a mediation practice here in the Twin Cities. And it's just a delight to listen to how she has taken these new skills and really taken advantage of the opportunities to bring restorative circles into the local schools. You'll hear an update on how things are going in her mediation practice. But friends, I invite you to stay tuned for the end. We have a wonderful update to share with you. If you've ever considered doing mediation, this might be your moment. And I'll share a few more of those updates as we round the bend of this conversation. So sit back and enjoy this conversation with Jamie and I. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Well, it's so fun to just have the opportunity to listen and digest with you. Like, fill us in, Jamie. Then what are you up to? We're just going to go ahead and jump right in.
Sure. Well, I think the last time we chatted, I was like, oh, just kind of launching, sort of putting it out there. And, you know, I definitely got over that fear pretty darn quick. I was already kind of engaging with the local middle school that my oldest attends, and they are just such a phenomenal administration at that school. And there's the head principal is retiring, so we'll see what continues in the future. But they were very thought leaders in using restorative practice for their staff meetings. They were trying to get the rest of, you know, the school administration and others on board to utilize Circle for discipline diversion, for doing their homeroom or their connections classes in the morning, really to teach students how to communicate in that effective open question, everybody has shared power method. And so I just loved when I heard about that. I was like, this is great. This is definitely a place to connect. And so throughout the school year, I've been going there once or twice a month and just doing an after school circle. And it's been kind of a mixed group every time. Sometimes it's kids who are having just connection and relational issues with other students. They might just be struggling at home. And so they're referred here just for a place to share their thoughts and feelings. Sometimes there's a direct conflict that's, you know, kind of on the list of things to address. And so I'm coming into a circle with kids that are all not related in any one situation, but they clearly all need a place to be heard. And it's different every time. There might be different kids and there's really little prep in advance. Yep. But what I've found is the circle method itself and just open-ended questions. I have kind of a really generic agenda that I kind of follow for myself and a few different icebreakers that I have them watch, a bag full of different talking pieces. And I kind of let them choose what they think they need for the day. So sometimes it's like this little globe that's like a stress ball, or sometimes it's this rock that's a heart, or sometimes it's like a little fidgety thing. And they usually kind of reach consensus even on the talking piece, which is kind of cool that they, you know, kind of look around and they read the room and they figure out, you know, what can we all agree on? So, I mean, just a simple thing, right?
Yeah.
But I love how deep and open they get in such a short amount of time. And one of the circles in particular was incredible. It was with, they don't do like student council there, but they have what's called a leadership club or group, and they meet after school. And it's just kids who are looking for ways to connect and also looking to be, you know, developing some leadership potential within the student body.
Wow.
And you know, Circle.
Oh,
it's usually 8 to 10, maybe 12 people max. This was like 25.
Oh, wow.
And I did not know going into it, like what this would look like. But the stories they shared, the tears that they cried, and their leader, their teacher who led this was there. And his closing remarks were, you guys, we tried to do a circle last week and we couldn't even get halfway around the circle without people talking over each other and interrupting these, like, you guys were amazing. It went so well. And I don't necessarily attribute that to myself. Maybe it was just an outsider being there, or maybe it was the
Wow.
kinds of questions that were being asked. I don't know, but it was really powerful to see the method work with 6th through 8th graders, 25 of them after school when everybody's squirrely, and they
Yes.
opened up in a way that I would not have imagined doing at that age.
Jamie, this is incredible listening to how you've kind of pulled out that restorative approach and brought it into the schools. Are you finding a niche for yourself and a group of people that you are finding just a great level of comfort with? I kind of see it and hear it in your voice, but I would rather hear from you.
Well, I think it's definitely an area where I feel God's prompting.
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
back to my middle school years and what it would have meant to have something like this. And I think that's kind of part of my journey right now. Like I shared in the last episode, I left a corporate job. I took these big leap saying,
Yes.
I don't know, God, where you want me to go, but I'm just going to say yes to the next open door. And so that's kind of what this feels like. It's
Yeah.
saying yes to the doors that are opening and the avenues in which people or institutions like a school are inviting me in and letting me try things. And I really love this age. I think it's an age where a lot of people, not to be generalizing, but a lot of people write it off like, they're challenging, they're hormonal, they're emotional, they're irrational, they're crazy, right? Of course they are,
Yes,
like all
yep.
of those things. And they still need somebody to listen, and
Yes.
they still need somebody to see what they're going through.
Yeah.
And I so believe in the power of it, you call it, creating a village or whatever way you want to, phrase that. But I do think that it takes other wise adults in the lives of our children to raise them well. I don't think that I myself or just me and my husband can raise our kids well. I think we need neighbors and friends and family and grandmas and grandpas and different generations and different ages of people that we trust to be influential and listening ears for our kids as they grow up. So I just see myself as being, just one person maybe in that mix for these kids if they have nothing else.
Oh, I love it. And I've been reflecting on like what you are bringing to these children and knowing I've raised kids, I've had kids in middle school, you too, and like just knowing that you are providing that safe environment and conversational, opportunities for these kids. If I had been a parent, knowing my kids had access to that, I would be so grateful. So I'm just so thankful that you've stepped into this niche. It's such an important like place to be in the lives of children, especially in these years. You think about like the hormones, right? The craziness and they're all over the place. But I'm so thankful, Jamie, you found this area to minister and spend time with kids. What's kind of on the horizon for you, or what are you dreaming about?
Oh gosh. Well, I have an action sports ministry that I'm a part of. And my hope is to kind of utilize Circle there as well. So it's an organization called JASA. It stands for Jesus, No Asphalt Water.
Okay.
And so where my heart is with that ministry is obviously in the water sports area, the wakeboarding and wake surfing. And so I'll be leading a kind of a girls' wakeboarding camp from my house on our lake over
Oh,
the summer in
fun.
June and July. So it's Bible study, it's food, it's riding, and it's just connection. And so just utilizing that circle method again when we do Bible study and when we do sharing time and prayer requests, it's just circle can be used for anything.
Yes.
And we're also kicking off a kind of a pilot women's small group. Again, utilizing Circle. So we kind of kicked it off, introduced Circle and what it was. And again, the depth and the breadth of the conversation in a short amount of time, It's unparalleled. I've never seen anything like it. And what I love about using the talking piece is it's kind of that natural reminder of, oh, yes, somebody else has to go, right? So it doesn't, it's kind of a self-governing process where you
Yeah.
don't get one person sort of hijacking the entire conversation, which happens in small groups,
It does.
any age, right? Because some people have a lot to share and some people just haven't had a place to be heard. But it is that visual reminder of like, I have to pass this and there'll be another opportunity. So using it there, mediation from an actual career perspective has been, steady. Like I've had some good referrals. I've been able to actually engage with some people in real challenging conflict situations and helping them reach agreements. One said at the end, this was really enjoyable.
Oh.
And I was like, and we kind of laughed about it. And she said, I don't know if that makes sense. Or I'm paraphrasing what she said, but the sentiment was like, I know that seems odd to say that because this is,
That is awesome.
not a place where you would say it's an enjoyable situation, but to the extent it could be, it was. And I felt the same. I was so impressed by this couple and the way they communicated, especially knowing the tensions coming into the room from both sides.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, I just give all of that, first of all, to God, but second of all, just to the circle process and what
Yeah.
it does to create safe and just confidential. Honoring space for people's stories to come out, for their feelings to be heard, not judged. There isn't a power differential in the room. I just think it's so powerful.
I so agree with you, and I love hearing that. I think one of our biggest pushbacks as we launched this and started training people is this is not what people want. They want the fight, right? They're looking for the adversarial, perspectives, or they want to hire the lawyer and lawyer up and do it that way. And that is just not the case. And I'm so glad to hear that you're finding those people and they're giving you the feedback of we know exactly what this is supposed to produce, but it's so encouraging to hear that you're also finding the same response from individuals who are taking the more mature route, maybe if you want to call it that, that they want to just handle matters, get it signed and documented, and if they're going to file it through the court, no, great, but it feels good to be able to provide justice that feels good. Good job,
Yes.
Jamie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's hard, but it's also really gratifying. And I think for me, again, call it coincidence, call it whatever, people want to label it as, but I'm even finding a transformation in my own life, in my own relationships, and where I practice this with other people and apply these just listening and talking
Yeah.
methods. I think it's, I don't know, God's grace in all of it that He's provided me new eyes to see and, ears to listen to even, my own ex-spouse. And our relationship has really transformed over the last, few months, just being able to talk more openly, to work through some things that, our teenage daughter has been going through, to be on the same page about those things.
Wow.
And so, I haven't really shared with him what I've been up to or what I'm doing, but I just feel like God has provided an abundance of grace
Yes.
in the situation, and it's really transformed things and made a much more enjoyable life for everybody. It's not perfect and it's not easy, but it's more enjoyable.
Oh, I love hearing this, and you are kind of articulating what my story was like too. The first time I was exposed to circles, then I was trained in it, and then I started finding all of these places where I could use it in life, and it became a part of even my worldview. It started to change me and how I showed up in spaces. And I'm delighted to hear that you're using this in your personal life, but in your church. And I can relate to what you had said about a women's group and providing even this talking piece and restorative kind of leadership approach in those environments where I'm doing this with my small group. And man, there have been days where the circle process, we basically just stopped using the talking piece and we would go back to someone taking on the conversation, right? More than the rest. And I think you're right. This idea of providing a worldview where we can really self-govern, but do it in a way that is good for all is the better way to go. So well done. I love hearing that you're using this in so many different contexts. I have one final question for you. And it was at the very beginning, you talked about this moment of overcoming fear. You stepped out of your comfort zone and launched a practice doing this. Would you be willing to talk about what that felt like for you and what you did to overcome fear? Because a lot of us struggle, and we talk about this actually in our training for people that are interested in doing this. We find ourselves almost feeling like we're imposters. And
That
Jen
was
has talked
exactly the
about,
word.
right? And it is, we're going upstream in a culture that is so adversarial and so divided, and coming alongside individuals and offering peace and resolution is kind of scary. And we wonder, like, do people even want this? Well, they do, but all of us work through fear. And I would just love it if you'd be willing to share. What did that look like for you, and how did you overcome it?
Oh, I mean, imposter is exactly the right word. I on so many levels, right? First of all, I think there was this feeling of imposter, like, who are you to try to come alongside divorcing couples or families when, you didn't do it very well yourself? Who are
Same.
you to try to provide advice on, like co-parenting or parenting time schedules when you yourself have found yourself like filing court motions to try to deal with these things instead of, working it out in a circle, right? So there was that level of I'll be found out that I have not done it well. And then there was, I think, just through prayer, right, and reflection, it's like, and that was the past, right? So yes, I'm going to learn from that, but this is a line in the sand. You've now been trained. You know better. You're going to do better. You're going to take that experience of what it feels like to not do it well, and you're going to use that and leverage it to do good things. And, all good gifts come from the Lord. And the training was a gift. The time that I had to be able to do it, the financial resources I was able to have to pay for it was a gift. And so I just kept realizing that he was guiding my steps and telling me, I've been preparing you and we're going to use your story for something better. You just have to trust me. And so, I mean, I don't think that it came from anything else other than just prayer and trust and really submitting, my own fears, my own will over. And then it was really just through having connection and conversation. Women that I'd met through training or conversations that I had either with you or with Jen even or my husband. Because I did kind of keep it pretty private. Like I was building my website and I was doing things in the background, but I really didn't want anybody to know. And again, that was that fear, and the enemy talking, like, people are gonna, make fun of you. Like, what are you doing? Nobody's gonna hire you, kind of a thing. And then I shared, a version of my website with a couple people, and they're like, "What are you waiting for? Hit publish, like, go, just do it." And so, I mean, it was literally like sitting at my computer, and I think I just like closed my eyes and like pressed the button, and I like just walked away. It was like a drop the mic, right? Like I just had to walk away, and not like you see something automatically happen. I don't know why it was like I thought something would explode on the screen, but it was just this idea of like, okay, it's done. And then it was just kind of slowly announcing and putting it out there, and the feedback was incredible, right? And the people. I think what it also showed me, and hopefully for anybody who listens, it will just show you like who's in your corner, right? As women, as people, but particularly as women, like you need to know who your champions are, like who is gonna be back there, like championing for you, rooting you on, cheering you on. And that became so evident so
Oh.
quickly. And not to say that people who didn't jump up and applaud aren't in my corner, but it's like you knew who was going to be there to pray for you, that was going to be saying, how can I help? This is big and this is scary to launch something new. How can we support you? So that was such affirmation as well. Like, this is the right thing to do. This is the right time, you know. And anytime that I felt some sense of doubt or fear, the next, you know, phone call comes in, or the next client comes along, or the next opportunity in a school, or the next group, or, you know, whatever that next thing is, it just keeps coming
Yep.
and at a manageable pace for the lifestyle that I want to live, with dedicating time to my kids and dedicating time to my work.
Yep.
And so I just feel like God is so good in providing the right things at the right time if I'm willing to wait, and I'm also willing to say yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's really just listening to that. So I don't know if I answered the question
You
well about
totally did.
fear, but I totally encourage anybody who's contemplating, you know, taking the training or exploring what this could look like. You know, maybe you get the training and you don't become a qualified neutral, great, but at least you have an incredible toolbox of things to use from now until the rest of your life, right? That you can pass on to people that you know, or kids or grandkids. It's an incredible tool.
Well, Jamie's totally right about taking this skill set and bring it into your everyday life, maybe launching a practice if this shows to be something that's interesting to you. Friends, I would invite you to head on over to our website, check out the trainings we've got. We have lunchtime cohorts available coming up this later fall and in the springtime. We've also got courses at Crown College available to you. If you don't live in the state of Minnesota, this does work across state lines. I just did a cohort and had someone from South Dakota, which was really fun. But we also have, beyond the regular training, a mediator cooperative. And that means that if you are currently a family mediator and you're looking to grow your practice, maybe you're frustrated with the number of families in court and not in your office. Perhaps you'd like to just simply expand your platform and educate and support families. Then our Restoring Home Co-op is designed just for you. This is a very simple strategy. It's a monthly membership. We're reaching out and touching the lives of families on the current court calendar. And that's why we've decided to design a cooperative, because this can be overwhelming on your own. If you go to your county court calendar, you will be shocked at how many families are on that roster. And so we are going to take a stand. We're going to reach out to these families, educate them, and support them on ways to maybe think differently about the conflict they're in. And you are invited as a family mediator to come and participate. At $40 a month, this will be an investment in your success as a family mediator. All of your continuing ed hours can be accounted for through this membership. So, qualified neutral, continuing legal ed, and then even marriage and family therapy or social work continuing ed is available. We'll even go beyond the state. If you have interest and you're coming from Arkansas or California, wherever that might be, let me know. We want to make sure that we're accommodating you. We have a marketing plan. We have built-in free resources and supports to offer parents. And I'm not going to get into that right now, but we've got three different platforms, including a podcast just for parents. This will be driven by a roundtable of mediators. So if that's interesting to you as a mediator, we would love to have you at the table. And then we're going to offer live webinars for parents, and really for the purpose of refreshing and helping them reset. So if you have an area of interest that you would like to talk about, we would invite you as a part of this cooperative to provide educational and supportive resources to parents and help you get connected to these parents. And then finally, if you are doing this solo, it's nice to have a team, isn't it? We've got ways for you to be connected to colleagues in the field, to share ideas and strategies and best practices. Really, this is designed to be more of a think tank as well, so that there's peer-to-peer mentoring and sharing of knowledge. beyond what those platforms will look like for parents. So go check out the website, thecatalasso group.com/cooperative. If you want to look at the resources available for parents, check out restoring-home.com. All right. Good to be with you today. Thanks for the time, friends. We'll see you next time.